The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello! This is Christy Walters from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. This week's cover story in the Triangle Business Journal edition for May 8th through 14th is titled Mobile Economics. North Carolina's manufactured housing parks have become lucrative targets for institutional investors, creating competition for longtime independent owners like Mike Conlon. The perks of parks. Mobile home parks are drawing rising interest from investors as a key slice of affordable housing becomes increasingly important, by Ben Tobin. Mike Conlon has spent years buying and operating manufactured home parks across the Southeast, building a portfolio in a sector long overlooked by big investors. Now, the owner of Cary-based Affordable Communities Group is struggling to compete. Institutional guys can come and overpay because they're saying, I'm going to raise rents at manufactured home communities by $400 on day one, so I can pay more because it'll justify that, Conlon said. It's difficult to compete against those guys. The shift has been driven by investors' growing appetite for stable income-producing assets, with manufactured housing seen as a reliable bet thanks to steady demand and a chronic shortage of affordable housing options. In North Carolina, the dynamic is especially pronounced, as the state has one of the highest shares of manufactured housing in the country and a persistent shortage of affordable homes. Manufactured home parks, which were once the domain of local owners and mom-and-pop operators, are increasingly drawing interest from out-of-state buyers, private equity firms, and institutional investors. Deal volume has accelerated, with properties often carrying price tags of $5 million and higher. At the same time, new supply remains virtually non-existent, with regulatory hurdles and local opposition making it difficult to build new communities. This rapid transformation of one of North Carolina's most important sources of affordable housing is being driven by a convergence of forces: rising demand as home prices climb, a dwindling supply of manufactured home communities, and a flood of new capital into the sector. But as deep-pocketed investors move in and valuations soar, the shift is raising new questions about affordability, ownership, and whether the housing option that has long served as a last resort for lower-income residents can remain accessible as an affordable choice. Manufactured housing is typically among the most affordable housing types we have in the U.S., said Eric Maribajak, professor of the practice of finance and associate director for the Housing Affordability Initiative at UNC Kenan Flagler Business School. When we make it scarce, that's when prices go up and it becomes attractive to investors. The pinch is even being felt by longtime players in the market, such as Conlon. The market for manufactured home communities is really hot, Conlon added. It's a little bit crazy, actually, comparing where interest rates are to where parks are trading now. It doesn't make any sense. Manufactured housing's footprint, particularly in North Carolina, has investors taking notice. Manufactured homes make up an average 5.7% of all housing units in the United States, according to the North Carolina Department of Commerce. In North Carolina, that share is nearly double. In some rural counties, the concentration is even higher, with manufactured homes accounting for more than one-third of all housing units in places in eastern North Carolina like Warren, Greene, Robeson, Gates, Sampson, and Terrell counties. That prevalence, combined with rising housing costs across the state, has made the sector increasingly attractive to investors seeking both scale and stability, particularly in areas where manufactured housing plays a critical role in the local housing supply. Manufactured homes typically cost around one-third less than traditional site-built houses, making them an attractive option for buyers who are otherwise priced out of the market, said Brad Loven, executive director of the North Carolina Manufactured and Modular Home Builders Association. That affordability gap and the scale of manufactured housing across the Carolinas has helped draw investors like Sam Hales into the space. Hales is the founder and CEO of the Saratoga Group, which owns and operates roughly one dozen manufactured home parks in Pitt County. The Southeast mobile home parks were undercapitalized, Hales said. If you looked at the rent at a mobile home community relative to apartments or single-family homes, they were dramatically less compared to other parts of the country. Hales points to markets like Greenville, South Carolina, and Ann Arbor, Michigan, areas he says that have similar home prices and incomes where the key difference was lot rents. We buy trailer parks and we turn them into mobile home communities, Hales said. If we can bring dignity to mobile home parks and make them nice places to live, that's kind of our thesis. Ryan Naris, a principal with the Archimedes Group, said that for years, perception, not performance, kept larger investors out of the sector. That dynamic has now shifted, he said. Investors have been drawn to the sector in part because many communities have historically been underpriced, creating opportunities to raise rents, improve operations, and significantly boost revenue. Institutional investors have rapidly expanded their footprint in the sector, accounting for 23% of manufactured home community purchases in 2020 and 2021, up from 13% between 2017 and 2019, according to nonprofit Private Equity Stakeholder Project. Today, just 23 private equity firms control more than 1,900 communities nationwide, representing over 40,000 lots. The cat's out of the bag, Naris said. Private equity shops have gone, holy crap, we could make a killing here. Rising investor interest is colliding with a fundamental constraint in North Carolina's manufactured housing market. There simply isn't enough supply. Local zoning restrictions, infrastructure costs, and persistent stigma around, quote, trailer parks have made it difficult to add new supply, even as demand continues to grow. When you restrict where manufactured housing can go, you're effectively limiting one of the most affordable housing options available, Mayor Bozsak said. We've made it too scarce for what the market is looking for. Levin said North Carolina already has a strong base of production capacity and existing communities, but future growth will depend on policy decisions at the local and state levels that allow for more development. North Carolina's manufactured housing industry is a timely solution to the state's growing need for attainable housing, he said. There's a real need for housing across the state in both rural and urban regions. It's critical that North Carolina leaders support policies that recognize manufactured and modular options as a key solution to the growing housing problem. Some policymakers and housing advocates warn that the lack of new supply could ultimately hurt current tenants and homeowners. That concern has begun to surface in policy discussions. Last year, North Carolina State Senator Julie Mayfield, a Democrat from Asheville, co-sponsored legislation that, among other things, would provide tenants the opportunity to collectively purchase the manufactured home park where they live before it is sold to an outside buyer, part of a broader push to give residents more stability and a pathway to preserve affordable housing. The bill didn't make it out of committee. If there are bidding wars for manufactured home communities, whoever succeeds will have paid more than they wanted to, Mayfield said, and the people who are going to suffer from that are the people who live in the neighborhood. Without meaningful changes to how manufactured housing is built, preserved, and integrated into communities, the current trajectory is likely to continue, according to experts. Rising competition for a shrinking pool of properties, increasing pressure on rents, and growing uncertainty for the residents who rely on them. The concept of the, quote, trailer park featuring dilapidated old homes that could be hitched and moved around is becoming increasingly antiquated in North Carolina. Today's manufactured homes are often built to federal standards designed to resemble site-built houses. At the same time, new ownership is pouring millions into upgrading roads, utilities, and amenities, transforming aging parks into higher quality, professionally managed communities that look and function far differently than they did a generation ago. The old trailer park image is pretty much gone, Conlon said. Even on these smaller parks, there are local investors that are putting money into it, bringing in new homes, getting the old homes out. At the same time, federal policymakers are beginning to revisit how manufactured housing is defined and regulated. A decades-old requirement that homes be built on a permanent steel chassis, originally intended to preserve their mobility, is now under scrutiny as lawmakers consider changes aimed at expanding affordable housing options. Industry advocates say the rule no longer reflects how the homes are actually used, noting that most are installed on foundations and rarely moved. Eliminating the requirement could reduce costs and allow for more flexible designs, particularly in urban areas where land constraints have limited new development. More than 70% of manufactured home residents nationwide own the homes they live in, according to the Urban Institute, even as they typically rent the land beneath them. That ownership structure of part renter, part homeowner has long been a defining feature of the industry and a key reason it remains one of the most affordable housing options available. They used to be called trailers or mobile homes because for a very long time, they were not particularly well built, Maribajak said. Today's modern manufactured home has much better design because the current market is sort of looking for something that looks like a site-built house. News from Apex in this week's Triangle Business Journal, massive Viridia project gets underway. The towering mounds of dirt, cleared land, and heavy machinery on the Viridia property bring into focus the scale of a multi-billion dollar project that is going to transform Apex and Southwest Wake County. Site work has been ongoing since late 2024, and now RXR of New York is getting ready to go vertical with construction. It's a feat that many thought would never happen at the 1,200-acre site flanked by US 1 and Highways 540 and 55. But for Joe Graziosa Sr., Executive Vice President of Development for RXR, it's never been a question of whether they would do it. It's how quickly. "We didn't come to town to sit still, that's for sure," Graziosa said. For RXR, that has meant employing 200 construction workers to move site work along. The evidence of that is clear in the 1.5 million cubic yards of dirt that's been moved, and the main road into Viridia East is paved along with curbs and landscaping. The next step is going vertical, at which point the number of construction workers will more than double. The first phase of industrial buildings, which will be south of Interstate 540, will be finished by the second quarter of 2027. RXR will start pouring foundations for the first two industrial buildings in May. More buildings will come in phases. About 200 acres will be reserved for the industrial portion of Viridia. Right now, RXR is planning 1.3 million square feet of industrial space. Everything south of 540 in the whole 1,200 acres, at the end of the day, in our minds, has always been programmed to be industrial because it fits together nice to the super roadway out here. So it's off the highway into the industrial park, Graziosa said. Switching over to the biz section of this week's Triangle Business Journal, Northridge Home priced at a whopping $8.5 million. The latest pricey mansion to come on the market is 7005 Northridge Drive in the Northridge community. It's priced at $8.5 million and will feature 6 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms, and a 3-car garage. The 11,913 square foot home will be built by Ridge Builders, a new builder to the Triangle. The listing shows the house will have views of the Northridge Country Club, a private sauna in the primary bathroom suite, a gourmet kitchen, indoor sports court, theater room, recreation and exercise rooms, a laundry room on each floor, screened porch, and a swimming pool and spa. Returning in 2027, Air Canada to pause flight out of RDU. Months after WestJet pulled out of Raleigh-Durham International Airport, another Canadian airline is suspending a nonstop flight. According to an Air Canada spokesman, the flight should resume in the summer of 2027. The Vancouver flight launched last year, providing rare access to Western Canada, but officials say the real value is in its Asian connectivity. According to Air Canada, the plan is to suspend the flight July 29th. When it was announced in 2024, the flight was billed as seasonal, set to run from June into September. Wingo's new firm adds cash as it builds runway. Nearly 25 years after founding what became Channel Advisor, Scott Wingo's new company, Refi Buy, has closed on nearly $14 million. The $13.6 million raise was led by New Road Capital Partners and includes investors such as Ridge Ventures, Silicon Road Ventures, Incubate Fund, Vela Partners, and existing backers G20 Ventures, Commerce Ventures, Null Ventures, and others. Wingo declined to give RefiBuy's valuation, but described it as the biggest seed valuation I've been able to achieve, and it came together in about 60 days. Channel Advisor went public in 2013 and was later acquired by Commerce Hub, now Rithm. Wingo said the IPO checked a box, but is not something he's predicting for RefiBuy. He does see significant opportunity and expects its cash to stretch further as companies operate leaner in 2026. A Durham shopping center sold for $25.6 million. Out-of-state investors have taken ownership of a shopping center in Durham as part of a portfolio deal. The Riverview Shopping Center, located at 5100 North Roxborough Street off Highway 501, just south of the Eno River, sold on April 27th for $25.6 million, according to Durham County deed records. The new owners are CPUS Riverview LLC, a joint venture between CBRE Investment Management and MCB Real Estate. The deed lists the Dallas address of CBRE Investment Management. Riverview Shopping Center is 125,430 square feet, making the purchase price $204 per square foot. The grocery store Harris Teeter anchors Riverview. Luxury houseboats, a hit in Wilmington. A luxury houseboat community in Wilmington created by a pair of triangle entrepreneurs is growing. The Cove Riverwalk Villas first opened in 2022 as a quirky, fun way to visit the coastal town. The houseboats float in the Cape Fear River and are downtown, a short walk from the convention center. Of course, rental houseboats aren't a new concept, but what Brian and Summer Dumont of Wake Forest envisioned was a community of boats with access to the center of the growing city. Now there are 37 units available, with more on the way, and each one has its own theme, with one featuring Paris, another the Greek Isle of Santorini, and another having a golf theme. Cove General Manager Marcia Bittner said the fact that the community is unusual is key. "That seems to be what people are looking for now in terms of vacations and travel," she said. "They're looking for unique experiences, and we are able to provide that." The rates start at $250 per night and go up from there depending on the boat. Bittner said most guests are short-term renters, staying 2 to 3 nights. The concept has worked out so well that the plan is to eventually have 63 houseboats, which is quite an armada. "There are other houseboats here and there on the East Coast," Bittner said, "but being a community of them is what makes the Cove unique." Bryant Dumont is the CEO of commercial landscape company Yardnique, which he started as a student at North Carolina State University in 1997. Summer Dumont is a realtor. Bittner said those who stay at the Cove tend to be couples, but they also have people who stay that are there for celebrations or concerts at the nearby Live Oak Bank Pavilion. Switching gears to an article by Zach Ezone in this week's Triangle Business Journal, Wake Med says Atrium deal is vital to its future. For years, Donald Gintzig fielded calls from health systems asking whether Wake Med was available for merger or acquisition. And for years, the CEO said the answer was the same. The time was not right. Until it was. About 2 years ago, Wake Med and Charlotte-based Atrium Health began talking about a possible combination. Those conversations culminated May 1st when Wake Med announced plans to become part of Atrium in a deal that would see the combined organization invest $2 billion in new facilities and services over 10 years. The discussions initially grew out of Wake Med's effort to expand its cancer program. Wake Med issued a request for proposals seeking help from other health systems as it was pursuing adding a linear accelerator for cancer treatment. Only Atrium responded, Gintzig said during a press conference May 5th. From there, the conversations broadened beyond cancer care to other areas of healthcare delivery and operations. Then the discussion was, "You sound a lot like us. We sound a lot like you. What could something bigger look like?" Gintzig said. Last year, Gintzig told the Triangle Business Journal that Wake Med was not for sale, and he insists that remains true. He described it as a combination, not a sale, that gives Wake Med access to greater resources while preserving local governance. When you sell it, you don't have that influence. You don't have that commitment. And that's why it's not a bid and a sale, Gintzig said. It's a choice. He framed that choice as one Wake Med felt compelled to make in order to meet the needs of a rapidly growing and aging population while competing in a market dominated by Duke Health and UNC Health. The proposed deal would give Wake Med additional capital as it expands hospitals in Cary and North Raleigh and builds a new medical campus in Garner. The deal would also provide resources to redevelop Wake Med's flagship campus. But the proposal has generated friction. Wake Med must receive county approval to amend two legal documents that would allow it to join Atrium. On May 4th, the Wake County Board of Commissioners delayed that vote for at least 90 days due to concerns about the deal raised by state and local officials. The transaction would still be subject to federal regulatory review. In its most recent fiscal year, which ended September 30th, Wake Med reported $2.6 billion in total operating revenue and $113.6 million in income from operations. Gintzig said Wake Med could survive without the deal. But over time, he said, it could face pressure to consider a sale that could remove local control. If we fail to do this, we may not have that choice. In fact, for 10 years, Gintzig said, and then you lose that opportunity to maintain what you are and keep what you need going forward. In big business articles in this week's Triangle Business Journal, Johnston County Charter School sold for $53 million. A charter school in Johnston County has sold for a huge price. ALA Johnston Holdings, a Clayton LLC that lists Matt Wehrig as the registered agent in North Carolina Secretary of State filings, purchased the American Leadership Academy at $3,770 U.S. 70. Business for a little more than $53 million recently, according to Johnston County deed records. The property is 47.9 acres and has two buildings, one for kindergarten through fifth grade and one for sixth grade through 12th grade. The land has a Clayton address and sits near Smithfield. Waring is the chairman of the board for American Leadership Academy Johnston. ALA Johnston opened in fall 2022. American Leadership Academy has schools in Arizona, North Carolina, and South Carolina. The previous owner of the property is an LLC that deed records show shares an address with Schoolhouse Development, a charter school developer based in Utah. Schoolhouse Development lists businessman and former Utah State Representative Glenn Way as a partner. Way also founded Charter One, an Arizona organization that manages charter schools, private schools, and district schools nationwide. This isn't the first school tied to this group that sold for a major price tag. Triangle Business Journal reported in August 2025 that Wake Preparatory Academy purchased its 67-acre property at 14111 Capitol Boulevard in Wake Forest for $92 million. In Chatham County, a former NC State NFL star sells its $5 million mansion. A former National Football League number one overall draft pick who starred for North Carolina State University is selling his Chatham County home. Mario Williams, a defensive end who played at North Carolina State from 2003 to 2005 before being drafted by the Houston Texans, listed his five-bedroom, seven-bathroom home on Royal Sunset Drive near Old Chatham Golf Club for $4.88 million at the start of the month, and 3 days later, it went under contract. The property has a Durham address. Davida Hamilton, the listing agent for the property who works for Dreambridge Realty, said that the purchase speaks to the current demand at this price point. The home was built in 2006 and features approximately 11,944 square feet in the main residence, along with a separate 993 square foot apartment, Hamilton said. It's a custom rufty home known for its quality craftsmanship and sits on just under 5 acres. Notable features include a full exercise room and a private movie theater. Williams purchased the then vacant land to build the home in 2006 for $460,000, according to Chatham County deed records. During his 3 years at NC State, Williams recorded 25.5 sacks, tying the school record. That record was broken by Bradley Chubb, a current linebacker for the Buffalo Bills, in 2017 when he notched a cumulative 26 sacks over his 4-year collegiate career. The sale shows the strength of Chatham County's luxury home market. The county is known for its variety of high-end properties. Let's move over to the research and innovation section of this week's Triangle Business Journal, primarily by Zach Ezone. The first article is Credit Union Moves to Back Raleigh Schools. In 2019, Carl Brown was a consultant hired to help Bennett College as the small, private institution in Greensboro was fighting to preserve its accreditation. Martin Eakes, CEO of Self-Help Credit Union in Durham, worked alongside him, assisting the college with its financial reviews. Eakes called me a couple years after that and said he liked me as a consultant but would rather have me as an employee, Brown said. Now, Brown leads Self-Help's efforts to support historically black colleges and universities across the Southeast. Over the past year, Self-Help has become a primary lender for both St. Augustine's and Shaw Universities in Raleigh. We consider HBCUs as being essential anchors in the communities that we're already serving, said Brown, the vice president of community engagement and strategic initiatives. So anything that we can do to help them stabilize, help them grow, help them develop talent, aligns with our mission of advancing economic opportunity and ownership in underserved communities. In 2024, Durham's Gothic Ventures provided St. Augustine's with $7 million in financing, with the potential for more. The university put up its real estate to secure the loan. In December, Self-Help Ventures Fund, a nonprofit affiliate of Self-Help Credit Union, assumed a $7 million promissory note along with the associated mortgage and collateral for St. Augustine's from two entities related to Gothic Ventures, according to Wake County property records. We felt like they were being taken advantage of with some of the lending that they had, and we knew that it was leading to bad outcomes for them, Brown said. The credit union also became a primary lender for Shaw University less than a year ago. According to Wake County property records, Self-Help Ventures Fund recorded a deed of trust for 19 parcels of Shaw's campus in June, securing a loan of up to $20 million. We wanted to be able to offer them something more than just lending and offer them some of this technical assistance and capacity building expertise that we have here, Brown said. A BioCryst lands European licensing deal. BioCryst Pharmaceuticals has secured a European licensing deal worth up to $345 million for its newly acquired investigational therapy. The agreement gives an Irish affiliate of Italian drug maker Neopharmed Gentili exclusive rights to commercialize BioCryst drug candidate navenibart for hereditary angioedema in Europe. The deal follows Durham-based BioCryst sale of its European commercial business to Neopharmed last year. BioCryst will receive $70 million up front and is eligible for up to $275 million in future regulatory and sales milestone payments, along with tiered royalties ranging from 18% to 30% on European sales. The company added navenibart to its rare disease portfolio through its acquisition of Astria Therapeutics in a cash and stock deal with an enterprise value of $700 million. The transaction closed in January. Navenibart is an injectable therapy for HAE, a rare disorder marked by episodes of severe swelling. BioCryst is developing the drug as an injection administered every 3 or 6 months, compared with some other injectables that require treatment every few weeks. The company is evaluating navenibart in a phase 3 program that could support regulatory filings by the end of 2027. UNC Health challenges rejection of Asheville Hospital. UNC Health is pushing back against a state regulator's rejection of its proposed expansion in Western North Carolina. The health system has appealed a decision by the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services not to approve its plans for a $711 million hospital in the Asheville area. DHHS denied UNC Health's application for a 129-bed hospital. The agency instead approved Mission Health to add 95 beds to its main hospital in Asheville and approved Novant Health to develop a new 34-bed facility in Arden. UNC Health's proposed location is less than 20 miles from UNC's Pardee Hospital in Hendersonville. UNC Health is pushing back on DHHS, rejecting its proposal over patient origin estimates while accepting similar projections from competing applicants. UNC Health's projections assumed that an average of 15.8% of patients would come from Henderson County during the first 3 years of operation. State regulators questioned whether those patients would travel to the proposed facility, noting that UNC Health Pardee in Henderson County is not operating at full capacity and that Advent Health Hendersonville also operates a nearby hospital. In this week's Real Estate and Development section of the Triangle Business Journal, let's kick off with an article on Kane Highwoods to redevelop Cary Space. Two of the region's most prominent developers are teaming up to transform a suburban office building into a mixed-use residential community. Highwoods Properties is partnering with Kane Realty Company to redevelop an office building in the Weston Office Park in Cary. The commercial real estate developer is currently awaiting rezoning amendment approval from the town of Cary in order to allow residential development on the property. Highwoods and Kane Realty have entered into a contract to transform ownership of the property to Kane, which Hill said he expects to close by the end of this year. Construction would likely follow in mid-2027. For Kane Realty, this is its second proposed project in Cary, as the developer looks to establish itself in what has become one of the most desirable communities in the country. Earlier this year, Kane filed site plans for Flatiron in downtown. Flatiron will be 7 stories and have 213 apartments and 5,659 square feet of restaurant and retail space. Kane is partnering with local developer McKinnon on the project. Cuppen said Kane plans to develop more projects beyond the one in downtown Cary and along Weston Parkway. The office building at 7001 Weston Parkway will be demolished and replaced with a 5-story apartment building. A developer tweaks plan for a 20-story Raleigh Tower. Plans have changed for a 20-story mixed-use tower along South Wilmington Street. New York's Tidal Real Estate Partners has updated its plans for the proposed building per City of Raleigh records. The changes include fewer apartments, more retail space, and more parking. The site for the project is a 1.4-acre lot at 521 and 529 South Wilmington Street and 108 Stronach's Alley. The revised plans include 374 apartments and 20,601 square feet of ground floor retail space. The original plans were for 387 apartments, 18,650 square feet of retail, and 313 parking spaces. For the apartments, the developer added another bedroom count option. There will be 247 one-bedroom units, 119 two-bedroom units, and 8 three-bedroom units. Previously, that mix was 310 one-bedroom units, 77 two-bedroom units, and no three-bedroom units. The size of the building has also changed slightly. It is now 590,647 square feet, up from 582,685 square feet. Durham apartments sold for over $85 million. A multifamily investment firm based in Miami is splashing into the Triangle market with the acquisition of an apartment community in the University Hill neighborhood of Durham. Momentum Real Estate Partners paid $87.1 million for the University Hill apartments in Southwest Durham, per deed records. The acquisition is the company's first in the Triangle. It owns a multifamily property in Charlotte as well. University Hill Apartments has 269 units, making the sale price nearly $324,000 per unit. The property is assessed at $71.5 million. Hawthorne Residential Partners of Charlotte developed and sold the property to Momentum. Hawthorne built the apartments as part of the 300,000-square-foot mixed-use University Hill neighborhood. And new townhomes target families. Townhomes priced in the 500,000s are being built within walking distance of Dorothea Dix Park as that part of Raleigh continues to attract investments. Concept 8 is building 12 townhomes at the corner of Lake Wheeler and Kirkland Roads. Named Proximity Point, listing prices range from $520,000 to $579,000. The homes will be delivered by the end of May. Residents will be able to take advantage of the Lake Wheeler Road improvements, which includes sidewalks, shared paths, and bike-only facilities. We researched the development of Dix Park and the plans for it and felt like it was going to be a feature, said Sean Donovan, president of Concept 8. He added that the expansion of Dix Park, the mixed-use projects Kane Realty is developing in the area, and the Lake Wheeler Road improvements were all reasons why the developer decided to build in the area. The three-story homes feature two floor plans, a three-bedroom option with a deck and a four-bedroom with a backyard. The homes are 2,167 square feet with a single-car garage. Home features include a chef's kitchen with oversized island, spa-like primary bathrooms, laundry room, and built-in storage. The three-bedroom plan offers a flex space on the ground floor, while the four-bedroom plan turns that space into a private suite with bathroom and closet. Donovan said the developer had young families and first-time homebuyers in mind when it designed Proximity Point. From the price point to home size to proximity to Interstate 40, Dix Park, and the State Farmers Market, everything was tailored toward young families. The total development cost of Proximity Point is about $5 million per Donovan. Funding comes from a combination of equity and debt, with an outside investor providing $750,000 in private equity and a $4 million loan from IFC Funding out of Philadelphia. Let's take a look at the aviation and sports section of this week's Triangle Business Journal with Lauren Onosorg. Anduril quietly expands in RTP. Quietly, defense contractor Anduril is expanding in Research Triangle Park despite slashing plans in Wake Forest and picking Ohio over North Carolina for what became the state's largest ever economic development project. According to Colliers' latest industrial market report, Anduril has taken another 73,600 square feet of space at Keystone Building C on Distribution Drive. That's on top of the 40,000 square feet it had previously leased. Anduril is headquartered in California. But insiders have said they've been steadily building in RTP since their buyout of Blue Force Technologies in 2023. Blue Force, in addition to a manufacturing operation in RTP, had been expanding in Wake Forest as it developed the Fury, a drone meant to train military pilots. The company has not answered questions about its pullback in Wake Forest or responded to questions about Project Thor, a manufacturing hub North Carolina competed for against Ohio. Public records show North Carolina was ready to offer more than $300 million in incentives, but the 4,000-job project went to Ohio. It's unclear how many employees Anduril has in RTP. In 2024, the Blue Force unit had about 158 workers. Anduril's website lists 13 open positions for its Morrisville operation, including head of supply chain. A former NBA owner invests in the NC Courage. More than a year after former Milwaukee Bucks owner Mark Lazary pulled out of deal talks for the North Carolina Courage soccer team, his firm is making a play. The Courage disclosed April 30th that it had received a minority investment from Avenue Sports Fund, a firm launched in 2023 by Avenue Capital Group and led by Lazary. Sportico reported Lazary's group agreed to invest $40 million into the Courage at a $155 million pre-money valuation. Steve Malik, owner of the North Carolina Courage, said talks with Lazary have been ongoing since last year. Lazary, in a press release, said the North Carolina Courage are exactly what we look for in teams we invest in and partner with. It's a storied club with a passionate and growing fan base and a market with extraordinary potential. Malik has made no secret of his desire for capital, including to pay for a new stadium, and he'd like that stadium in downtown Raleigh. "We're working with all the various parties and we're making progress," he said. "There's a little more work to do." Malik also owns the North Carolina Football Club men's team and last year submitted an application seeking to have the North Carolina FC join United Soccer League's new Division I tier set to launch in 2028. That would require a stadium with a minimum capacity of 15,000 seats. Wake Med Soccer Park's official capacity is 10,000. A budget carriers seek $2.5 billion bailout. A trade group representing low-cost airlines is seeking a $2.5 billion federal bailout for carriers amid soaring fuel costs, highlighting the mounting financial pressure on airlines that have been expanding at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. The Association of Value Airlines, a nonprofit trade group that represents carriers including Frontier, Avalo Airlines, Breeze Airways, Sun Country, and Spirit Airlines, before the carriers shut down, says rising prices for jet fuel are straining airlines that rely on price-sensitive travelers. In the wake of Spirit Airlines going under, speculation is growing that other low-cost airlines could soon follow in seeking bankruptcy or shutting down. The issue matters for RDU, where low-cost carriers have outpaced legacy airlines in new route announcements. Breeze, which has a crew base at RDU, has announced 10 new nonstop routes set to launch later this year, half of which debut in May alone. Breeze currently has the most nonstop destinations out of RDU among low-cost carriers. Jet fuel is usually the number one or number two cost for the carriers, said Jonathan Frey, executive director of the Association of Value Airlines. Frey said airlines represented by the group started the year budgeting for jet fuel prices between $2.40 and $2.50 per gallon. "Now we're quickly approaching two times on that assumption," Frey said May 1st. "The math is pretty simple. It's a real challenge." That cost pressure is driving the group's push for a federal liquidity package. Frey said the group has appealed to lawmakers in Washington. "Many of our customers, their travel is discretionary," Frey said. "We have a limited ability to change our prices or increase our prices because, again, travel is discretionary. Sometimes our customers are more price sensitive." Breeze, which would be among the carriers eligible for the relief, did not respond to questions about the package. Let's see what's happening in the retail and restaurant section of this week's Triangle Business Journal. Kate Tracy writes about a brew pub opening near Boylan Heights. The taps will soon be flowing at Kane Realty's West End project near Boylan Heights in Raleigh. Basic Brewing Company plans to open at 600 West Cabarrus Street, Suite 150, in the Platform Raleigh Apartments building. The business has launched an Instagram page and filed a permit with the city of Raleigh to build out the first generation space at Platform. Basic Brewing will come complete with a kitchen and small brewery, as well as bathrooms, bar, and seating typical for a brew pub, according to the permit. Jeremy Deckelbaum and Nick Wilson with Elm Partners represented Basic Brewing and its new lease at Platform. Basic Brewing is joining a burgeoning number of small, independently owned retail businesses at Platform, including Homebody Yoga and Wellness, the Bike Library, and the nail salon Mood Raleigh. Brightside Books and Wine, a romance bookstore, officially opened recently with a line of customers wrapped around the building. Just down the street from Basic Brewing, Sauna House Raleigh opened earlier this year. Other businesses along DuPont Circle include Bolted Bread, the screen printer Bay 6, and Heights Pilates. Not only is retail growing in West End, but residential development is also on the rise, with the neighboring Oldham and Worth apartment community scheduled to open in June, according to its website. Brewery openings in the Triangle and around the country have been slowing down given the challenges and the industry that the industry is facing, including changing customer tastes and tough competition. Nationwide, 300 new breweries opened in 2025, compared to more than 500 in 2024, according to a recent report from the Brewers Association. Despite the slowdown, some breweries have pushed ahead. Recent newcomers to Raleigh include Crooked Hammock Brewery, which opened in April at Glen Lake Office Park off Edwards Mill Road. And Trophy Brewing Company opened its Five Points outpost in November. Both locations have full-service restaurants. Kendall York is the owner of Basic Brewing. He could not be reached for comment. Platform opened in October 2023. Vic's Pizzeria owner to expand. Michael Longo is on a pizza roll with yet another new location popping up in Raleigh. The owner of Vic's Pizzeria in Glenwood South has signed a lease at 2320 Bale Street, Suite 114, in Raleigh's McNeil Point, where he plans to open Mikey's Pizzeria within the next 2 months. Longo is also building a new location in Wendell Falls after opening a location last year in the Triangle Town Center food court. The 2,700-square-foot space at McNeil Point, located off Wake Forest Road and McNeil Street next to Cheeto Taco and Jersey Mike's Subs, was the former home of Pizza and Pints. Longo, who lives down the street, was interested in the space for about 2 years before he signed his lease. "I kept my eye on it and worked my way in and got it for a good deal," Longo said. Longo plans to cater to families in the area by including arcade games in the back and a make-your-own pizza station, where an employee will walk guests through how to roll and toss pizza dough before choosing their own sauces and toppings. "No one's really doing that around here, and I think it'll be fun for the kids," Longo said. Eventually, Longo hopes to expand to pizza-making classes, parties, and larger events. Harley-Davidson dealership is sold to a Charlotte group. A Harley-Davidson dealership in Durham has been sold to an auto group based in Charlotte. Sonic Automotive purchased the real estate of Raging Bull Harley-Davidson at 300 Moldy Street for $7.75 million, according to Durham County deed records. The building is located along Interstate 885, just north of Highway 98. The deal was part of a larger acquisition of five Harley-Davidson dealerships across the country. For the Durham location, the seller was Motorsports of Durham Holdings, LLC, whose managing member and registered agent is Rodin Unessi, according to North Carolina Secretary of State business filings. Unessi, a former professional race car driver, signed the deed. Unessi also owns other Harley-Davidson dealerships around the country. As of 2019, he owned seven dealerships. The auto retailer's power sports unit, which includes on- and off-road brands such as Harley-Davidson, Polaris, and BRP, is an area of targeted growth for Sonic. Last year, that division posted a record $202.9 million in annual revenue. The company as a whole reported record annual revenue of $15.2 billion. Here's a heartwarming story in a section called A Better World in this week's Triangle Business Journal. Breeze gives Make-A-Wish kids a lift. A growing airline at Raleigh-Durham International Airport has struck a deal to make some wishes come true. Breeze Airways has a partnership with Make-A-Wish Eastern North Carolina to provide flights for children with critical illnesses. The airline is providing 300 flights per year from RDU or Wilmington and has done 12 since launching the partnership in February. The partnership marks the fourth chapter to join the Breeze for Wishes flight program since it began in 2024. The program supports local Make-A-Wish chapters through fundraising on Breeze flights and other wish-related travel needs to help make more wishes possible. Our role in making these special moments possible, however big or small, is time and effort well invested, said David Neilman, CEO of Breeze Airways. We can't wait to facilitate more of these life-changing experiences through this partnership. The partnership kicked off in February when 16-year-old Joshua Stinson flew to Orlando, Florida. Stinson discovered he had a serious heart condition when playing sports. Make-A-Wish Eastern North Carolina is an independent chapter of Make-A-Wish America and has served children and families since 1986. Overall, the organization has granted more than 4,800 wishes for children battling critical illnesses. Its annual fundraising event is October 15th in Raleigh. DirecTV aids local Ronald McDonald House. A tie to the men's and women's lacrosse teams at UNC Chapel Hill and Duke University has sparked a big gift for the Ronald McDonald House Charities of the Triangle. DirecTV donated $26 per goal for a total of $23,374. Michael Lopez, the director of cause marketing for DirecTV, presented a check to RMHC of the Triangle, CEO Oy Osterkamp, recently. In 2025, the local Ronald McDonald House welcomed 1,791 families and served 55,022 meals, according to a news release. And Chick-fil-A gives support for students. Chick-fil-A has awarded more than $773,000 in scholarships to 430 employees in Raleigh through its annual Remarkable Futures Scholarship Program. The scholarships can be used for college, technical programs, and other career paths. Overall, this year, Chick-fil-A has awarded more than $29 million in scholarships to 16,000 employees. Chick-fil-A is based out of Atlanta. And Wake County students win a national home building event. A group of local students with an interest in home building recently returned from Orlando, Florida as national champions. The Wake County Student Chapter of the Home Builders Association of Raleigh, Wake County, visited the International Builders Show to compete with other students interested in construction. The students from multiple high schools won first place in the secondary school's construction management division. The student team included Stone French, Smith Goraki, Eddie Kubiak, Graham Murphy, and Tully Martinez. Mentoring the group was Ed Kubiak. And the food bank gets a volunteer lift from the Food Lion. The Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina got a boost from Food Lion with a major volunteer effort on April 21st. More than 500 Food Lion employees volunteered at six locations across the market as a way to make a difference for those facing food insecurity. Food Lion, which is headquartered in Salisbury, has more than 1,100 total stores and 82,000 employees. In the Corridors of Opportunity section of this week's Triangle Business Journal, a new positive, economic wins start to add up in eastern North Carolina. But challenges remain, including how to manage demand for data centers. Most counties in eastern North Carolina have not faced the rapid rate of growth seen in the Triangle. But changemakers in Wilson, Nash, and Edgecombe counties say their time is coming. Nash County's tag is where business meets opportunity, said Susan Phelps, Nash County's Economic Development Director. And we believe that, and we see the opportunity coming. We are considered halo counties of the Greater Research Triangle area, and people want a place that is still community-focused, but also with those amenities that are growing with those jobs that are paying good wages. And I think that collectively in this region, we're trying to recruit that. We have a lot going on. Phelps was joined by business leaders and officials from Nash, Edgecombe, and Wilson counties at the Rocky Mount Mills April 30th for Triangle Business Journal's Quarterly Corridors of Opportunity Networking and Panel event. Topics discussed included data centers, a new baseball team and stadium in Wilson, and focusing on small victories. Amid a flurry of counties and municipalities passing moratoriums on data center developments in recent months, leaders in Edgecombe County have been discussing the hot-button issue. At the center of the county's data center discussions is Energy Storage Solutions, LLC, a group that has said it plans a $19 billion investment for three data center campuses around the county. One of those data center proposals was rejected by the Tarboro Town Council, leading to a lawsuit from Energy Storage Solutions. Edgecombe County Manager Eric Evans said his team is looking to, quote, build fences around free-range data centers, which have, quote, grown past current regulations, and we're all trying to catch up. In November, the Edgecombe County Board of Commissioners voted to approve a text amendment to the county's Unified Development Ordinance that specifies which zoning districts data centers can go into. Still, residents have expressed concerns over water and energy use, noise, and uncertainty over the technology. You have this tremendous economic development potential for a county like Edgecombe County. We need it, and we cannot just close the door immediately without considering the opportunity, Evans said. But you also have some concerns, and I think those concerns are warranted. The Warbirds, Wilson's new minor league baseball team, made its debut in a new downtown stadium on April 14th. The team has had multiple sellout games, according to Joe Ricciuti, president of the Warbirds. We are one of the few places left where people can go and leave the real world outside for a few hours and enjoy being around family, friends, and the community, Ricciuti said. There's a value to that that is beyond any economic metric. A hotel inside the stadium, the first of its kind in the United States, is under construction and slated to open in the fall. And the team is set to get new ownership, with Chicago businessman John Canning Jr. reaching a deal to buy a majority stake in the Warbirds from the Milwaukee Brewers. That deal is pending approval from Major League Baseball. Leaders around Wilson are optimistic that the baseball team and stadium could restore liveliness to the downtown area that once served as a former tobacco hub. Public-private investment in the stadium and ancillary development is expected to exceed $300 million. Ricciuti said that in his roughly 18 months with the team, it has been amazing to watch the transformation of Wilson. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. We've run out of time for today's episode of the Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Again, I'm Christy Walters, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.